Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 131. Alright, so you guys may have heard a rumor that there is a new show out there, and it's true. It's called the Masonic Roundtable, which I just happen to be a part of. But I'm not the host. It's actually hosted by excellent brother John Ruark, a past master, and a couple of other amazing brothers. Brothers like Jason Richards, Juan Sepulveda. That's right, two Masonic podcasters together on one program. And the millennial Freemason himself, Brother Nick Johnson. The new show is strictly Masonic, no swearing, and we keep it absolutely on the level. The cool part is it's really strict on the 30-minute time limit. The show can be viewed live on YouTube or through Google Hangouts. I believe the schedule is going to be on Tuesdays at about 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. It might shift around a bit in time and day until things get squared away, but if there is a change, you will definitely see it on the Facebook page, or if you want, you can also follow on Twitter at Mason Roundtable. If you miss it live, it will, of course, be on YouTube syndicated, and also I will embed the episodes on WCYpodcast.com. So I want to remind everybody to please check out the Masons Against MS and Freemasons of America to help support and raise money for this cause. The Masons Against MS, or Multiple Sclerosis, are participating in a run walk in New York, and more information can be found at the MSSociety.org. In a similar event, please check out the Chicago Scottish Rite website, the Valley of Chicago, to get the details for the Walk Against Dyslexia. It's a big event, and we need all the help we can get. So this week, I wanted to go ahead and do the short paper first, pay the bills, and then we can go into the fourth part of the old-time radio drama, which is called Quiet Please, and the episode was aptly called Whence Came You? So the first piece is called Masonry Founded in Nature. And of course, you guys know I do like to read some somewhat antique papers, if you want to call them that. This piece is called Masonry Founded in Nature, and it's from Freemasons Monthly Magazine, dated 1842. Whatever is founded in nature is permanent, and although it may frequently be blended with transient combinations, it still remains a part of creation. The plant may be cut down by the frosts of winter or by the ruthless hand of the destroyer, but the root still lives in all its inherent strength and natural energies. It waits but to receive the warmth of the genial sun to put forth anew its stalks and branches and its fruit and flowers. We need not say how many times Freemasonry has been conquered and disgraced, for such has been asserted of it in every civilized country, and still it lives. In common parlance, it dares to live. Whatever is founded in nature cannot but live. Its chief principle is life, and whatever constitutes life is morally good, as whatever is evil is essentially death. Therefore, it is not optional with men whether good things shall be permitted to exist, for it is not within the power of human agency to destroy them. Such is the wise provision of nature, that through the evils of the world appear many, the blessings are more. The balance of moral power is on the side of goodness, and the cause of right and justice does not depend upon conventional decisions. It was declared in France that, quote, death was eternal sleep. And what was the effect of such a vote upon the glorious doctrines of the morality of the soul? It was decreed by the monarch of all the Russias that the person who should presume to practice Freemasonry within his dominion should suffer death. Time soon developed his weakness and his folly. Politicians of every age and country have denounced the institution of Masonry as fraught with evils unnumbered and unlimited. But time has cut down these prophets and their prophecies as transitory and unnatural. Excitement is incident to party movements, and party measures are seldom dictated by that judgment which is guided by reason. Passion results in confusion, and confusion leads to error. Party discipline is never based upon the immutable principles of justice, and therefore no party succeeds in all its views and measures. There may have been many errors in the conduct of Masons and in the administrations of Masonry, but the principles of the institution are permanently good and will forever remain so. Nations may rise and fall, parties organize and reorganize, and disorganized. Great minds act and react upon one another to the last hour of mortal strength. Injustice and cruelty may reign during the common period of human life. Still, the elements of all the fundamental laws of our moral nature remain unchanged. Institutions based upon these laws may be opposed, and even suspended in their operations, but never destroyed. We consider the evidence complete, which is confirmed by the scrutiny of the wise of past ages. The good men of different ages are independent of those prejudices which influence the good men of the same age, and whatever is the result of united wisdom thus collected may be regarded as in harmony with the laws of nature, and not in opposition to the will of nature's God. Masonry has been tried, judged, and proved. She has risen superior to her enemies in every age, and it is because of her inherent energies in truth, love, justice, and mercy. All parties, powers, and circumstances, and events in opposition to these are but the poisonous vapors of evil passions which flit in momentary glory and then sink back to the unsubstantial confusion. Masonry is adapted to human nature, and so long as nature is true to herself, so long will masonry prove true to man. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. And I know it was a little bit longer, but I think it was worth it. It was a cool article. So I have to quickly mention, if you want to support this show, visit the website www.wcypodcast.com and click the Support the Show tab. There you will find a bunch of ways to support the show. It is a listener-supported show, so we have apps for your mobile device to listen to the show on the go, streaming. It also offers the papers that we read via PDF, as well as a Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device. Also, there are a few affiliates, the first being Onnit Labs. So if you're into healthy living and you want to have a little bit of an edge, check out their products. I use Alpha Brain and I love it. So click through those links and use the coupon code WCY at checkout and you'll get 10% off and it sends a little bit back to us as well. The other affiliate is my favorite. It's freemasonryart.com. So just go to that website or you can click through our links. It doesn't matter what you want to do. And anything that you buy there, you get 10% off when you use the promo code WCY. And Brother Juan Sepulveda sends a little bit back to this show as well. So there are a few ways right there just to help out if you're interested. Most prominent and the favorite is just a PayPal donation. And I have to thank Brother Queensberry for his continued support. You pick the amount and it sends it right to us. And all the money we raise goes only into the show. So check that stuff out and thanks in advance. So let's get right into the radio drama. Now, before we dive in, I want to say the radio discussion section of the blog is still there, and you can continue the discussion if you would like to. Also, to hear the first parts of this radio drama, you'll want to listen to episodes 128, 129, 130 first, so that you understand where this one is coming from. It is the continuation and the fourth part of the radio drama, Whence Came You?
Into the stone coffin. I hope I shall never see the like of that again.
What is it?
The mummy of a man. A tall man in a robe of gold cloth. Not wrapped in linen bindings, just a robe of gold cloth with strange symbols woven into the cloth. And his head. Not a man's head. The head of a hawk. No, not a mask. We look carefully. A man with a head of a hawk. And the hawk's beak all dabbled with red. I didn't believe it either. It couldn't be. But it was. It was the father of all the Egyptian gods, Osiris. Osiris, the brother husband of Isis, the founder of the world's first empire. Osiris, who was murdered 16,000 years ago. And his body was hidden by Isis, his wife, with a blasting curse on any who might find his tomb. It was impossible. It couldn't be. But there it was. And Martin and I and a dead man were there in his tomb with him. And the curse hung heavy in the musty air around us. And then the first rays of the sun reflected from something above us stole down into the tomb. And I saw the pictures on the wall. I saw Osiris with his hawk's head. And the robe he wore and the mitre on his hawk's head was the same that the mummy wore in the casket. I saw Isis, his wife, weeping over the body of her murdered husband. And the beauty of the work of the long-dead artist was unbelievable. And I saw another picture. daughter of Isis and Osiris. Yes. Yes, of course I could read the inscriptions. Yes. Of course I could recognize her face. I'd seen it before. In the lobby of Shepherd's Hotel. And the inscriptions on the wall were terrifying. There were secrets there that men would give their lives to possess today. There were secrets there that we've only begun to imagine today. I'm a scientist, I know. Or do I? We forgot the thing in the coffin. We forgot the thing on the floor. And it grew darker and darker in the tomb. And I read on and on. I stood before the painting of the one who was Osiris' daughter. Long black hair. Red lips that smiled at me. And my heart stopped at the inscription under the portrait. I read it over again. Be not afraid. Ah. Living rock in the ancient hieratic characters uncounted centuries ago. Not by the hand of the artist. I knew who had carved my name there. Be not afraid, Austin. And I wasn't afraid at all when I discovered that the thing that was making a dot down there was a great slab of sandstone. Slowly swinging around and down to imprison us all in the tomb that the wife of Osiris had cursed. Martin Weaver was a very brave man. Martin Weaver didn't scream and cry in the heavy dark. Martin Weaver talked to me quietly.
It'll be all right, Austin. The workmen will be here before long and they'll see the slab and Ibrahim knows how to run the engine.
I hope so, Martin. I hope they'll be in time.
They'll be in time. He'll start the engine and pull the thing off. All right.
I hope so, Martin.
Sure. They'll know that something's wrong.
Where are you?
Right here.
Well, stand still.
I am standing still.
I thought I heard you move.
Oh. You afraid, Austin?
Are you?
Not particularly. But I...
Yes.
Well, the thing in the... Where are you going?
I haven't moved.
I thought I felt your hand on my arm.
No. Sit still. Don't use up the air.
Well, you sit still.
I tell you, I didn't move.
Something's moving.
It couldn't be.
Austin?
What? Martin? 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 Answer me, Martin! And there was nothing but silence. And then another footstep. And I felt a hand on my arm and I screamed with terror.
All right. Again, I hope you enjoyed that. We will continue that series next week, and then hopefully we'll finish it up next week, but it may go one more past that. And then the next show after that, we will have our great, amazing, I can't say enough awesome stuff about it, interview with Brother Juan Sepulveda from FreemasonryHeart.com, and he's also the host of The Winding Stairs, another Masonic podcast, and I know you guys have heard me talk about it. It's an amazing show. You should definitely listen to it. So we'll go into this week's famous Freemason, who is Ezra Ames, born May 5th, 1768, and he passed away February 23rd, 1836. He was a popular portrait painter in Albany, New York during the late 18th and 19th centuries. More than 700 portraits have been attributed to him. He was born in Framingham, Massachusetts in 1768, and he moved to Worcestershire, Massachusetts in 1790 and married Zipporah Wood in 1794. Sometime later, he moved to Albany, New York, where he painted a number of prominent people, including early portraits of Governor George Clinton and Alexander Hamilton. It is not known whether Ames was formally trained or not, but his work had a popular appeal. In addition to portraits and landscapes, Ames's surviving accounts books indicated he painted miniatures of carriages, fire buckets, fences, mirror frames, and furniture. Ames painted a number of still-life landscapes and history paintings, and was skilled at engraving. The Shatokan magazine describes his importance in the way, quote, he was the most noted portraitist in the state outside New York City. The sure and fluent ease of his brush, his keen characterization, his pure, fresh coloring are all remarkable for his early period. His portrait of Governor George Clinton exhibited at the Pennsylvania Academy in 1812 won him wide notice, but he did delightful work some years earlier, and many even finer canvases are scattered through the middle states in private hands. End quote. During his career, Ames painted many members of the New York State Legislature and retired comfortably on his savings built up during the prolific career, primarily between 1800 and 1820. In fact, he became known unofficially as the official New York State portrait painter. Ames was an active Freemason, which brought him a number of commissions from his fellows. Ames served as chairman of the Fine Arts Committee of the Society for Promotion of Useful Arts in 1805 and was also president of the Mechanics and Farmers Bank of Albany. He passed away in 1836 and is buried at the Albany Rural Cemetery, Lot 1, Section 59. Ames was posthumously elected as an honorary member of the American Academy of Fine Arts in New York City. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. Also, please remember to check out the Midnight Freemasons, www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com, and on Twitter at Midnight Mason. Check out our podcast partners, Juan Sepulveda over at the Winding Stairs Podcast. He's on iTunes, and also Brother Rob Lewis at the Far From Centered Podcast on farfromcentered.com. And you can follow him at Far From Centered, and you can follow Brother Juan Sepulveda at Winding Stairs 33. You can check out the new live show on YouTube, The Masonic Roundtable. You can find us on Google Plus at the email address themasonroundtable@gmail.com, and also on Facebook and on Twitter at Mason Roundtable. Please take a minute to check out our Masonic businesses like Fraternal Ties and PB&J Water. Check out the bookstore, and don't forget the new movie The Freemason is right around the corner. Buy those tickets and fund those events. Anyway, we'll talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.